Please turn with me in the Word of God to 2 Peter chapter 3. God willing, we'll return to our scripture reading of the Psalms next week. But to continue this theme of getting our eyes fixed upon the second coming of Christ, I want to focus your attention upon this chapter. Here the Holy Spirit moved Peter to tell us that in the last times scoffers would rise up who would deny that Jesus is going to come again. And we are living in the last times. We are living in the last era of this present age. And such scoffers do exist, don't they? They say, basically, since Jesus has not returned yet, he will not return ever. As a matter of fact, they go farther than that. They say, since God has never judged the world in the past, he's never going to judge the world in the future. But this, Peter says, they willfully forget that God has judged the world in the past. What basically he says here, and I'm indebted to Sam Waldron for this observation, is if you were wanting to diagram this particular chapter, you could draw three circles. The first circle write the world that was. The second circle write the world that is. And the third circle write the world that is to come. And then put two vertical lines in between those circles to distinguish them from one another. What is it that separates the world that was from the world that is? And Peter says it's the flood. The flood in Noah's day when God destroyed the earth but preserved eight souls alive in the ark. But God has judged the world in the past. The second vertical line that separates the present heaven and earth from the age which is to come is the return of Jesus Christ, in which he will destroy the heaven and the earth with great fire. But here's the thing. Peter says they willfully forget that God has destroyed the world in the past. It's a moral problem. They know it in their heads, but their hearts refuse to yield to it, because if they acknowledge God has judged the world, they understand that their judgment is coming. But he has judged the world in the past, and that is a certain reality that he's going to judge us again in the future. And the question is, why has Jesus not come back yet? The Word of God answers that question for us. It's not because God is slow. It's because God is patient. Look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Jesus comes back, it's too late to repent. It's too late to believe on him. It's too late to be converted. It's too late to have forgiveness of sins. Verse 10 makes it clear. The day of the Lord comes suddenly. It comes quickly. It comes unexpectedly. And when it comes, it's too late to cry out for mercy. And so God has suspended, as it were, the coming of Christ to allow sinners to repent. So if you're here and you're outside of Christ, take heed to the warning that time is short and hell is hot, and flee to Christ for salvation. But there's not just a message for the lost. There's a message for the saved as well. Look at verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God? That is, it should propel you, as you think about the second coming of Christ, to pursue holiness presently. John says something very similar. 1 John 2:28 says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. But notice verse 13 ends with our hope again. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All the corruption, all the horrible things and rebellion of our society and of our culture, all those things will be no more. We will live in a place that's perfectly holy and where man can never fall again. So bear these things in mind. Hear the word of the Lord. Beginning in verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. May the Lord add his richest blessing to both the reading and the hearing of his word. You may be seated.